So, Father, our desire is, Lord, to be roped in by your love, Lord. Lord, pull us closer into thee, Lord. And, Lord, let all of that in who you are, the manifestation of your grace, your power, your presence consume us tonight, Lord. Lord, take us higher than what we were Sunday, Lord. Lord God, take us in a place, Lord, that's unmeasurable, unstoppable, and unspeakable, Lord. And Lord God, just help us to surrender more unto you, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would bless this church, Lord. Bless all the children of God who are represented here tonight, Lord. And Lord, in the different churches and the different folds that may be here, Lord. Lord, let us all receive something that'll make our lives and our fellowships better, Lord. And Lord God, we give you the honor and the glory, Lord. Father, we've sung songs unto you, Lord. Praying, Father, that it went up as a sweet-smelling savor in your nostrils, Lord. But Lord, we're entering into a place, Lord, where only it's about you, Lord. You and your word, Lord, is not about the preacher, but it's about the preacher himself, Jesus Christ. And Lord God, we pray that you would show up tonight and show up mighty and strong in the presence of your children, Lord. For many of us have a deep call. It takes a deep to respond. So, Lord, our desire is, Lord, that you would respond to our need tonight. In the name of the lovely Lord Jesus Christ, we pray and we thank you. The church say amen. The church say hallelujah. Amen. We appreciate all the songs we're not singing anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all know I remember when these two sisters had just started to play. Hallelujah. And listen to it now. Amen. It just shows when you put time in, you will get good results. Hallelujah. Whatever you're doing for the kingdom, if you put time in, give God your best, he'll bring forth the increase. Hallelujah. Because if he put it in you, it belongs to him anyway. Hallelujah. And God don't halfway do nothing. Hallelujah. He put a song in your heart, sing it. Amen. He put a word in your mouth, speak it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory. Yeah. I feel resurrection power in this place. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Don't wait on it. Make it happen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. I'm only a tool. I'm only a gift. But this tool belongs to you tonight. Why don't somebody use it to their benefit? We ain't waiting on God. God waiting on us. He already done his part. He said it is finished. Why don't somebody tap into what's finished tonight? Whatever you need is already in your seed. You need joy is already in there. Hallelujah. You need healing is already in there. Salvation belongs to you tonight. The Holy Ghost is yours. It's already in here. You don't have to look for nothing else. It's already in the bride. Hallelujah. Where is God? You looking at him. Where is God? I'm looking at him. God is in his creation. Hallelujah. Waiting on another church. The church is here. Amen. Let's read the word. Let's go to Matthew 16. Y'all know me, I get all stirred up, forget about scriptures and everything. Because God has been good to me. Amen. I ain't got time to fuss and fight. I ain't got time to worry about what somebody else doing. The only thing I'm concentrating on is Jesus Christ. The only thing I'm concentrating on is a rapture. And if I got to be talked about the rapture, so be it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ain't get too many amens on that one, Brother Nelson. You know, one thing about that, what you got to recognize, if you're being talked about, you must be doing something that's getting somebody attention. Hallelujah. And I know I say I'm a read, but this is a story of a young man who was being talked about in the church. And he was being talked about church people. Church people. It wasn't the sinners, it was church people. Hallelujah. We get mad because church people talked about us. Who talked about Joseph? His family. Who persecuted Joseph? His family. And what did his family do? His family, those that persecuted him, led him right to his position. Woo! So talk about me. The more you talk about me, the closer I get to God. Woo! The more you talk about the seed of God, they'll get on their knees. Hallelujah. Hallelujah anyhow. Amen. Like they told the young man. See, everybody talked about it. Man took him out to the window. Say, look at those trees. One was a pecan tree, and one was just a regular cedar tree. He said, well, what's the difference? He said, the pecan tree had tires in it, sticks, all kind of stuff. All kind of stuff was in the tree. All kind of stuff was laying down at the bottom of the pecan tree. He said, look at the other tree. Wasn't nothing around it. He said, you know why? Because that tree ain't got nothing nobody want. But the pecan tree, everybody throwing at it, because they want something off that tree. And if everybody's throwing at you, they want some fruit off your life. Who got the fruit tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. Matthew 16.
Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah.
Oh, so-and-so talk about me. We ought to say, praise God. I'm being purged. That even if you got the Holy Ghost, he's going to purge you, that you what? Bring forth more fruit. Matthew 16, let's start at verse 17. And we know that, I'm going to summarize this. We know that Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say I am? You know, and their response was what everybody else was saying. But then Peter said, in verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And listen to Jesus respond. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I look what comes along with that revelation. Woo! Look what comes along with the revelation of knowing who Jesus Christ is. He said, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He got a little bit more to give to. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Let's go to Ephesians 6. Start reading at verse 18, Ephesians 6, 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. While you're praying, you got to be patient. You got to be waiting and watching and looking for God while you pray. What we do is we pray, and then we don't get no answer, and we say, it must be ain't the will of God. How you know that God ain't answered you yet?
Thank you, Jesus.
Remember, Moses kept saying, Lord, I want to see the land. I want to go over. God took him over. Say, this is the land, but you won't go. He got an answer. It wasn't what he wanted to hear, but he had to worry about seeing the land no more. Paul said, Lord, I got this infirmity in my body. Lord, I got this infirmity in my body. Lord, I got this infirmity in my body. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. Don't worry about it. I got it there to keep you humble. Verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You have your seats tonight. Amen. How many love the Lord? Do you really love the Lord tonight? See, God want a service of love. God don't want a service of out of duty. Because if you just serving God out of duty because, you know, the pastor going to say this about me, or the people going to say this about me, and I got to come because the people going to think they're going to look at me wrong and all this stuff, you don't love God. You just come in to keep the people off your back. But if you love God, it don't matter what somebody say. It don't matter how you feel. It don't matter what's going on the job. It don't matter what's happening in the world. If you love God, you are unstoppable. Hallelujah. Because it said love conquers all. And if that love of God is inside of you, it will conquer everything in your life. It'll conquer unsaved children. It'll conquer unsaved husbands, unsaved wives, unsaved bosses, unsaved family members. That love of God can conquer all. Hallelujah. But you got to fall in love with him. Amen. You know when you fall in love with something, you put it above everything. And it's just me, but I find out that people put everything before God. Everything before God. They put their jobs before God. They put their money before God. They put their husband and their wife before God. They put their children before God. But don't you know that God is the answer to all them problems? Amen. And if you put him first, he'll take care of everything else. You know, it's just something about me. I like preaching on tithes. And I ain't no pastor. I'm just an evangelist. But I like preaching on tithes. You know, because people wrestle. See, one thing about me, I'm a bloodhound. And when things are not covered under the blood, it has to be sniffed out. Pre-adventure, somebody in here is wrestling with tithes. But let me tell you something. If you don't, you're cursed. If you do, you're blessed. Please don't turn me into a bloodhound tonight. I say this all the time. I don't care if my pastor go buy a helicopter. What that got to do with me? I didn't done what I was supposed to do unto God. So God will take care of him if he's doing what he ain't supposed to be doing. Why we worry about things that ain't got nothing to do with our salvation? That ain't got nothing to do with my salvation. As long as I do my part. Do your part. Don't curse the church. Bless the church. Hallelujah. Because if you are in here and you're not an attentive tithe payer, the church is cursed. Because you are here. Remember when Achan tucked that stuff in his tent, the whole camp lost the battle. Amen. That's why we can't get nothing, because we ain't cheer forgive us. Hallelujah. You know, you give somebody a ride and God told you to give them some money. Give them some money for giving you a ride. God had already told you that. Give them some money. But when you get to your spot, you say, do you need anything? God ain't told you to ask him that. God said, give him something. He already put it on your heart. Just that simple. We miss God. He didn't say ask them do they need anything. He said give them some money. Do you need anything? And you know they're sister and brother, so they're going to say no. You ain't fooling nobody. I ain't even got him a message yet. It's the pull. That's what we ought to have in the church. We ought to be able to come to church and God responds to your need. God don't come in here to tickle your ear. God comes in here to give you strength so you can get out of this hell hole, so you can get out of this place. God comes to give you strength because if you belong to God, there's a body awaiting you. Hallelujah. Tonight, what we're going to talk about is representation. What are you representing? Hallelujah. See, my last name is Diggs. So wherever I go, I represent the Diggs family. Woo! Amen. When the Capriotis came down south, amen, their name represented the whole family. So if they would have been smoking and drinking, it would have been a reproach on the whole family. If they would have been lying and stealing, it would have been a reproach on the whole family. What about the kingdom of God? If you represent Christ, there should be a certain thing backing you. There should be a certain thing following you up. Hallelujah. We are ambassadors to the kingdom. And an ambassador is a representative that has the whole country backing them. Woo! If you're a representative of heaven, you have all of heaven backing you. How can I be unhappy, Marilyn? How? When I got all joy in heaven backing me. How can I be sick when I have all heaven backing me? Woo! We have heaven backing us tonight. Do we know that we have angels in this place? Hallelujah. You're not alone tonight. You're not alone because we are the redeemed of the Lord. We can respond in a way that angels could never do it because we know what it's like to have a tainted testimony. We know what it's like to be in the muck and miry clay. Then that same one they worship all day that they say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty becomes real in our life. And you know what happens? When we begin to worship, God tells the angels, shh, shh, shh. They're singing unto me. Shh, shh. The redeemed of the Lord is singing. Shh. The purchase of my blood. Shh. Hallelujah. I deal with the angels later. But right now I want to talk. I want to listen to my sons and daughters. Because they have representation in heaven. Woo! We have representation in heaven. You tell me, how is it that some of us can live in sin? Then all of a sudden a pull start coming. We start straightening up. We stop the running around. We stopped all the other stuff. And we begin to clean up. We begin to clean up. What was it? It was that representation in heaven. It was the representation in heaven pulling me back to where I come from. Woo! So let me say this to the young and the old. It ain't a song strong enough to keep you in hell. It ain't a lust demon, a sick demon, or whatever it is that can stop the pull of God to cause you from coming back into your original seed. Hallelujah! Because you have representation in heaven. Let me explain where I'm coming from. Everybody know that God told Moses to build a tabernacle, right? Can I get an amen? God told Moses to build a tabernacle. And he said, okay, Moses, this is what I want you to do. I want you to do this, I want you to do that, I want you to do this, I want you to do that, do this, do this, do this, do that. So everything that Moses did, where did it come from? It came from God. So as Moses made the outer court, God told him to do it. He made the inner court, God told him to do it. Then he said, put a veil between the inner court and the holiest of holies. Because I'm going to put my representation back there. Woo! Woo! And the people might have been looking at Moses. And they might have been wondering, why does he have a veil up there? Sometimes people look at us and they're wondering, why are you doing that? Why are you doing this? There's a representation back there. There's a representation that has to get your attention. So as Moses put that veil up, God said, I'm going to put my presence back there. Let me say this. There's a difference between the power of God and the presence of God. A sinner can experience the power of God, but they can't remain in his presence. Hallelujah. They'll come to church and shout. They'll come to church and dance. But when they leave here, they can't live the life. They can't remain in his presence. But if you have representation, if you have representation, ain't a devil in hell strong enough to make you remain in sin. Hallelujah. But people mistake the power of God for the presence of God. See, in the presence of God, you're drawn closer to him. Amen. The power of God shakes you up. The power of God gets your attention. The power of God lets you know wrong from right. But the presence of God takes you in there to a maturity. Woo! Well, you don't have to preach on tithes. You don't have to preach on worship. You don't have to preach being on time. Why? Because you're in his presence. And when you're in his presence, the light is forever over you. Woo! The light is forever over you. We are in his presence. Glory. You can be on the job and people be all around you and you can still be in his presence. You can be on his job and your pastor come in and you can testify that this is my pastor because you're in his presence. Woo! You're not afraid of the gospel because you're in his presence. You can get on the city bus and be in his presence. You can go in the grocery store and be in his presence because all heaven is backing you. Come on, somebody reach up and get what you need tonight. God wants us to know that we have heaven backing us. Do you know that? You have heaven backing you. If you're sick tonight, ask yourself, why? Ask yourself, why am I sick? If I am an ambassador to Christ, Christ carried every sickness that we would have to Calvary. What did he do with it? He took all your temptation. He took all your lust demons. He took all your lying spirits. Woo! He took all your unforgiveness. Amen. He took all your whispering and backbiting. He took all of it and he crucified it. The devil thought he was crucifying him, but God was crucifying all your problems. Glory! So why aren't you free? The Bible says wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And if his presence is here tonight, we all ought to be free. It don't matter what church you go to. It don't matter who your pastor is. If you are free. See, when somebody is bound, everybody take notice of it. Because they can't move like they want to. They got chains on. They call them shackles. Because when they would take a regular step like they're free, they can't. Because they bound. So they give God just a little bit of worship. They give God just a little bit of prayer. Because they got shackles on them. Woo! They give God a little bit of time. They give God a little bit of reading the word. A little bit of studying the message. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Because they're not free. But when you get free, woo! One thing about coming into his presence, you can get lost. And this is one time, one place, when you get lost in his presence, you're not worried about it. You ain't looking for a GPS. You ain't looking for a map. You just want to be saturated in his presence. You don't want to come out of his presence. But being in the power of God,
amen.
You say, man, service was powerful. Get home, sit down, and put that DVD on. You experienced the power of God. But it was on us.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, sir.
Your brother Branham said you can have the Holy Ghost every day of your life and still die and
yes,
go to
sir.
Hell. But your representation.
That's it.
There's a lot of people representing something. You know, when you're on your job, you represent the job.
That's it.
Amen. So when you're on that job, you do your best because you're looking for a certain reward. Oh, 40 hours. It's called a paycheck. And you don't want no problems when that day comes for the reward. You work the hours you're supposed to work. You keep a track of it. Come on, somebody. You don't want nobody playing with your time. You don't want nobody messing with your money. Because you got to represent. You know that what they say in the street. Come on, let's represent. What's up? Represent, man. You know how we do it. You know how we do it, girl? You better represent. What about us in the kingdom? When we come in here and the word start going, should we ought to be able to represent with an amen? Should we ought to be able to represent with a hallelujah? Woo! Because all you're doing is you're responding to where you come from. And I come from God and I go back to God. So when I come in the house of God, I got to represent. I got to throw up my hallelujahs. I got to throw up my praise the Lord. I got to shout out my amens. Because I got to represent where I come from. And I don't come from the hood, but I come from heaven. Woo! And this posse right here ain't losing no battles. When we come in the neighborhood, we come to take over. Hallelujah. So why don't we represent tonight? See, I'm from South Carolina. So I can easily come in here and represent South Carolina. You know, I can put the South Carolina clothes on. I can put the nation's flag on my back and all these things. Tell everybody I'm from South Carolina. You know, and then you can listen to the way I talk. And you can tell that I'm from a different place. The way you talk, the way you dress, the way you look ought to tell where you come from. It ought to represent who you are. You are an ambassador of heaven. Everything about you represents where you come from. The way you act when you get upset tells where you come from. The way you respond to persecution and tribulation tells where you come from. So who are you representing? I ain't representing South Carolina. I represent the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I don't need no stimulus check. All I need is stimulation from revelation. Hallelujah. All I need is fresh oil. Glory. Because all heaven is backing me. Why? Because I've been swazi. I've been chosen. You've been chosen to represent heaven. Hallelujah. How many know where you come from? Canada is not your home. I ain't gonna be too much longer. So I hope you're flying with me. Everybody knows that I'm an eagle. And I like to go way up there. I don't like just a halfway service. I like to go way up there till I look like just a little black dot. Way up there. Woo! In his presence. Some of us are satisfied with a good song service, then we shut down on the word. Let me tell you something. What you gonna do when you in a battle? You gonna sing your way out? You got to speak your way out. You got to say, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. Hallelujah. When God created me, when God created you, he broke the mold. There is none like you. Amen. See, but one thing about our representation, the Bible says it's finna get tight.
Come on.
It's finna get tight. The Bible says that the two will be so close that it'll see the very elect if possible. So there'll be some people represented among you that look just like you. Worship like you, sing like you, come to church like you. But they ain't got no representation in heaven. Woo! Because their life is connected to the seen realm. What people can see, what people think, how people feel. See, the outer court. See, when Moses built the tabernacle, he started with the outer court. And see, in the outer court, you can have a gift and still come to church. You can look like a mighty, mighty woman or mighty man of valor in the outer court, but let the preacher step on your toes. And then you begin to represent where you come from. I don't know who he think he talking to. I told him that, and he didn't got over the pulpit and preach on me. Remember, every year, that priest went behind the veil. That priest went behind the veil, bearing the sins of the whole congregation. Like a pastor told me, he said, sometimes you can speak on some things in church. And nobody told you. The people say, oh, that was God. Hallelujah. Because you ain't told nobody. You shout the house down. You say, that was God. But then you tell the pastor, he's going to preach on. Who is it then? Is it that man or is it God? And if you think it's just a man, you don't know his office. you're not behind the veil. Hallelujah. Because you couldn't look at the priest as just a man. You had to look at him as your intercessor. He was the one bringing forgiveness for your sins when you couldn't do it. But you look at the man and say, he's talking my business. No, God talking your business. So when you didn't tell him and he's preach about it, it's God. And when you do tell him and he preach about it, it's still God. Oh, I ain't get too many amens on that one. Because when you learn that the fivefold ministry, is here to perfect you. It's here to perfect you. But the key element in that fivefold ministry for you is a pastor. Somebody got problems, Brother Nelson. Somebody questioning, are they in the right place or not? Somebody needs to get a revelation. Jesus said, who do men say I am? Mm. Who do men say I am? And when you look at that shepherd, you got to answer that same question. Thou art the Christ. Somebody jump up and get it. Let me see you jump up and get it. Somebody jump up and get that. Don't let that go over your head. He's not the man. See, we have to understand the anointing. The anointing is not just good music alone. The anointing is supreme power under control. Supreme power under control, knowing how and what. And the only supreme power I know is Jesus Christ. Jesus in your house. Jesus in your money. Jesus in your wife. Jesus in your children. Jesus on your job. Under control. The anointing is a person. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The anointing is a person. The music don't make you feel like that. The person does. It ain't the music causing chills to go down your back. It's the touch of him. It's the touch of a person. And you know one thing about a husband, he's the only one that knows how to touch his wife. Hallelujah! Because he represents the vow. He represents the connection. He represents the love. And vice versa. See, one thing about a woman, she can make that man smile when he done had a hard day at work. Something so simple. It might be something called apple pie. Man, come home, get out the car. When he got out the car, he was like, dude. As soon as he get home, close that door. There's an anointing moving. There's a sweet fragrance in the air. It's called love. With an adjective called apple pie. Come on, brothers. I know all y'all ain't best friends with the microwave. But he can be hard down mad because he had a hard day on drive. I mean, he had a hard day at work. But as he steps into her domain, hey, day, as he steps into her domain. Amen. She enters into her king. She enters into his kingdom. Amen. In an unseen realm. Amen. Brother Branham preached invisible union of the bride. Amen. It's an invisible union. Amen. It ain't dealing with what you see on my face. It's dealing with what's lived in my life. Amen. And as he gets out the car, he steps into her domain. Amen. All his problems begin to be left behind. Amen. Why? Because her representation is pulling him closer. Amen. Closer. Why? Because they are one. Amen. So there's something in her that knows how to pull him into her kingdom. Amen. There's something in this bride. Amen. Brother Branham said the bride, the church, will be so much like Christ till we'll pull him out of heaven. Amen. He said as she's nearing the headstone, she'll be a super church. Not when the headstone all the way comes down, but as we're nearing the headstone. She'll be a super church, an invisible army. As you're nearing the headstone. But one thing I find out, Brother James, people ain't catching it. They don't recognize the representation of heaven on the earth. And y'all have a prime minister, but we have a president. His campaign slogan was, "It's time for change." What was God doing? God was letting the bride know that it was time for change. But the carnal people who couldn't recognize the representation of heaven, they got caught. Oh, black people. Ah! About to have a president. Ah! Black power. And they missed what God was doing. The prophet of God said, when God said, "Let there be light," the vindication of God's words was when light came. You take that same type and use Barack Obama's words. He said it was time for change. The vindication of his words was, he's president now. He's elected in. To do what? To produce a change. But we so caught up in, oh, you know, my forefathers, and oh, we so glad we got a black man in. Bunch of nonsense. Think about it. The ship, the great ship called America. It's coming y'all way too. Y'all look like y'all got it going on a little bit, but God finna represent. He finna represent everything that came out that prophet's mouth. Nobody's going to escape the wrath of God. But one thing about this whole thing, Obama, he's a socialist. So he knows how to get his point across to make change. I ain't gonna dwell on this long, but I'm gonna drop something good in it. And him producing a change is not only just in the government, but it's in the whole world.
Amen.
The Bible says, just like it was in the days of Sodom.
That's right.
Just like it was in the days of Noah. Amen. Is that scripture being represented?
Amen.
Can you see it?
Amen.
Last time I heard, Canada classified the Bible as a hate document.
Amen.
Did y'all know that?
Yeah.
Why? Because it speaks against homosexuality. Amen. And if you don't believe that, you have to represent where you come from. Against all odds. But to end this on Obama, he says it's time for change. In the man's inauguration speech, if that's how you say it, might have some intellectual people here that can say it better than me. But in his speech, when he won, he said it just goes to show that in America, all things are possible. Who does that belong to? And they say, man, God talking to us.
Amen.
You know what? He ain't finished. He talked a little bit more. He said, you can achieve things. Stay at it. I just may not be verbatim, but you know, he was finishing a little speech. And he said, just keep trying, keep going. Only believe. Around here playing church. We sit around here getting mad at people. We sit around here ducking and dodging, scared to shake somebody's hand because they didn't give me. I ain't got something didn't happen 5 years ago. And y'all still mad at each other. You got to put that stuff under the blood. Represent where you come from. That's our problem. We don't look at one another like Christ looked at us. Christ looked at us through the blood. If you're repentant. One thing I learned is people don't repent no more. They do wrong. They'll talk about people. They'll say this. They'll say that. And they'll wait for an opportunity when everybody happy to come around like ain't nothing happened. Don't never tell you I'm sorry. Don't never say I shouldn't have said that about you. Just wait till all your friends and all her friends come around. And then she just mingle on back in, you know. And y'all back talking. But she never repented. So when you know what? When you make her mad, she gonna do it again. When you make him mad, he gonna do it again. Because it's not under the blood. You know why? Because if it's not under the blood, it's a different representation. For those of you that don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't represent God. You don't represent God. It ain't Jesus Christ, a lukewarm Jesus Christ, Satan, and a lukewarm Satan. It's Jesus Christ and the devil. Either you represent Christ or you represent hell. Boy, I know that's heavy. So if you don't got Christ in your life, you are an ambassador from the underworld. That's why you will start trouble in the church. Because you don't represent Christ. You represent the enemy, which is confusion.
Yes, sir.
We'll sit down on me now. See, one thing you got to remember about the minister. If he's filled with the Holy Spirit, he don't preach on things that's under the blood. Because if it was under the blood, God wouldn't show it to the minister because God don't see it. Because red through red is white. And if your life is under the blood, Satan can run and run and run and accuse you. God will say, I don't see it. He that is born of God doth not commit sin. Hallelujah. Because you have a representation there. You see how important it is not to be playing church? Because you're either going to represent God or you're going to represent the devil.
Yes, sir.
It's that plain. Ain't no middle ground. say he'd rather you be cold or hot. If you lukewarm, he don't want nothing to do with you. If you're lukewarm, he don't want nothing to do with you. Because a lukewarm person, nobody don't know where you stand. We don't know if you need prayer. We don't know if you're on fire because you're lukewarm. When you're at church, you hallelujah, amen, 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 amen. And when you get home, your DVDs, your internet, and all these other stuff. We don't know what you need. But if you're on fire, we see God's representation. And if you're cold, we see the devil's representation. But one thing about Satan's representation, it'll never defeat God's representation. So you can come here cold all you want. You stick around long enough, we'll make you hot. Hallelujah. One thing about fire, it is contagious. Woo! One thing about fire, once it get on you, you got to shake. You got to move. Something got to happen. You cannot sit in a burning building and not get burned. Unless you're in the presence of the supernatural. And then if that takes place, they won't even see you. All they'll see is your representation. The Hebrew boys in the fire, sitting in the fire. How hot was the fire heated up? Six times? What was it? Seven times. It heated up seven times. Seven is what? The number of what? Completion. That trial was made complete. And when your trial is made complete, you know who steps in? You know who steps in your fire when you go through it like you're supposed to. You know who steps in your trial. Stop worrying about it. Let her drive. Let the storm drive. Just board up the house and let it drive and stay tight. Brother Burnham said, when problems come, there's a faith that rises up in the church and stabilizes her to let her know that God is near. Woo! He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. What does that mean? His representation is always with you. I'm going to show you how powerful that is for some of you sisters. Dreadlocks can come walking down the street. Look like he got it going on. You know, he got a nice shop, car with some 24s on it, tinted windows. He trying to get your attention. He might see you catching the bus or something. But you get his attention. And he's trying to get your attention. But there's a representation around. If you got Christ inside, if you've been born again, if you're trying, there's a representation that backs up the hounds of hell. Because the Bible says no weapon formed against you. No weapon. Whether it's some 24s, whether it's Mercedes Benz, whether it's some dreadlocks, whether it's a mini skirt, whether it's a certain hairdo, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Hallelujah. So I don't care how convincing he sounds, no weapon. I don't care how good he looks, no weapon. Because there's a representation there saying, devil, you can't have her. Devil, you can't have her. She belongs to a heavenly family. Woo! But one thing you got to realize, sisters, you'll meet your serpent before you meet your Adam. Brothers, you'll meet your Jezebel before you meet your roof. Because what God does is God tests that seed. God tests that seed. He want to show the whole world that it was worthy, that it comes from him. He want to show the devil that it's the same life that was on the cross. So he'll let the finest of the finest come out from hell, manifest itself on the earth.
Yes, sir.
Like Billy D. Williams. Oh, let me say a name. All y'all can, ooh, like Denzel. Well, the brothers look like Halle Berry. But the scripture says, no weapon. And what he does, he backs that up with a scripture of his. That the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but to the pulling down of strongholds in Christ Jesus. The pulling down of strongholds in your life. Strongholds, the gospel can pull them down. Strongholds, your representation can pull them down. Because we don't fight fair. We don't fight carnal. We have another representation. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
It feels good in here, but I got to close.
Amen.
Keep going, brother.
Amen. Amen, amen.
But if you represent like you're supposed to, let's go to Acts the 4th chapter. You know, for those of you that go to this church, you represent Perfect Love Tabernacle.
Amen.
Amen.
What's the name of y'all church? You know that y'all represent grace and truth.
Amen.
Think about that. When grace and truth get together with perfect love, what should the whole world see? Woo! They should see what we see tonight, the presence of God. Oh, and let me throw mine in. Jesus Christ Tabernacle. Hallelujah. See, Vanessa, we got people talking about, it got to be the third pool doctrine. It got to be the seven thunders. It got to be the this, it got to be the that. What is the third pool? Jesus Christ. What is the seven thunders? Jesus Christ. What is the opening of the word? Jesus Christ. What is justification? Jesus Christ. What is sanctification? Jesus Christ. What is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Jesus Christ. Who is the resurrection? Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ is in you, you are the resurrection. You have the power to bring people out of the dead. Because there is a representation in you. You have the power to make people live again. Brother Branham said Calvary gave you and I the right to impart eternal life. You can give people the Holy Ghost. That was a little too heavy for some of y'all. Don't think about it. Believe it. Now when God comes inside of you, when God dwells inside of you, there's a power that can heal. There's a power that can save. There's a power that can give peace. A power that can give joy. A power that can resurrect the dead. Because it's representing heaven. Hallelujah. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he went down in the grave.
Praise God.
He gave up the ghost. Think about this. How powerful the life of Christ. I think Brother Bram said he gave up the ghost in Gethsemane. So when he died on the cross, he died as a sinner. Because you can't kill God. You cannot kill God. So you can run here, you can run there. If God's seed is inside of you, it got to come to the kingdom. You can drown it with alcohol, you can drown it with smoking, you can drown it with music, you can drown it with lust, but if that seed is inside of you, he must needs come by your way. His life was so powerful. He gave up the ghost on earth. Died as a sinner, went down into hell, and the spirit came alive again. Woo! The spirit had quickening power in hell to defeat Satan on his own territory. And you mean to tell me that you ain't got power on this hell to live in the spirit? He already went in hell and lived a life of power. Telling us that you can live in hell and still defeat Satan on his own territory. Brother Branham said, any time, any place, anywhere. Because you have a representation from heaven. Boy, that's heavy. The prophet of God said he went down into hell. Satan said, I've been waiting on you. Because remember, he had the keys to hell and death. Yes, so everybody that died had to come by him.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Everybody that died had to come down to his dimension. He owned torment. He owned hell.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Because Jesus hadn't died yet. Amen. So there was no propitiation for you to bypass hell. That's why when they offered up sacrifices, they used blood and ghosts, but people's desire didn't change. Because there wasn't no life that could come back on the human. So no matter how much your sins were purged on earth, when you died, you went to hell. Because your representation on earth was a representation of Adam and Eve, sins. But when Christ came, it was another representation. First, he represented himself in the cloud as the pillar of cloud. Then he represented himself as the pillar of fire. Hallelujah. Then Brother Branham say, the pillar of fire became a man and dwelt among us. Hallelujah. The representation had changed now. It was no longer in the sky. It was no longer on the post, but now it was behind skin. Hallelujah. And he showed all of us, he showed all creation that you can have dominion over this body. Because the word says that he was tempted in all points, all measures, like we were, but yet without sin. So lust didn't get him. Jobs didn't get him. Women didn't get him. Think about it. Jesus came up in a household. I believe Joseph was a tent maker. Jesus came up in a household. Think about it. He was making tents. You know he had the baddest tents on earth. Nobody tents was like his. You think about all those contractors that was pulling them. Come on, man, I can make you big. We can make plenty of money. I can make you big. Jesus turned the job down. for you people who can't get away from your job. Jesus already defeated that battle. All you got to do is believe. I'm trying to wind it down. But like Brother Nelson said, God gave me a choice. He put full-time ministry in my heart 3 years ago. I went out 1 year. I quit my first job because it was something burning on my heart. One thing about a conviction, one thing about a burden, if God put it there, it won't go.
Praise the Lord.
You can do everything you think you can do, but that burden will keep rising back up, rising back up, rising back up. You making $16-$17 an hour, that burden say quit. You got all benefits, that burden say quit. You got a 401k, a pension, that burden say quit. I'm talking about me now. I ain't telling nobody go quit your job. But if God telling you to do something, don't let that get in your way.
Amen.
Everybody all right? I'm trying not to go too much longer. Okay, at least five of you. But I went out, I quit my first job. I had a benefit package. I was making good money. My job wasn't even hard. You know y'all sanitation trucks? The garbage trucks. I was driving one of them. But I drove a truck. Where I ain't had to get out, I ain't had to touch no garbage. I had a hydraulic arm that picks the can up, dumps it, put it down. All I do is drive and listen to Brother Brown.
Praise the Lord.
I know God gave me that job.
Amen.
Because when I started, I was a spare man and they was using me so I could run all the equipment because they know I could do it. That's what people do on your job. They know you Christians, so they'll use you. Amen. But what I had to do, not get upset, not go in the man's office, I'm tired of this. But I had to pray.
Amen.
And as I prayed, the supervisor, the head man over the whole thing, he came to me and said, look, we finna create two positions. We buying two brand new $200,000 trucks, air conditioning, CD players. And you can pick whichever one you want.
Amen.
But before that, three more jobs came up. Well, I had to pick from that. So once I went into prayer, I had the opportunity to pick from five different jobs. But you know, I picked the one where I could work smarter and not harder. I can work 4 hours a day and get paid for 10. I can work 6 hours a day and get paid for 10. I can work 2 hours and get paid for 10. God gave me that job. Here comes a burden. Quit. Make a long story short, I couldn't get away from it. So I quit. I'm going to evangelize full time. And one thing about when God is telling you something, you have to be careful how representation is disguised.
Yes, sir.
God was telling me what to do. So I talked to my pastor first.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I talked to him first.
Amen.
Before I made the decision, I talked to him about it. Because he's the one that God has put on this earth to help me make a rapture.
Amen.
That's what the prophet of God said. So I asked him, he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to encourage you. Do what God tell you to do.
Amen.
I said, okay, I got his back. I had my wife back. But then, certain people found out I was about to quit. Believe us!
Yeah.
They come up to me. Man, are you about to go for old time? Man, don't you quit your job. You need that insurance. I'm looking for some support.
Yeah. That's it. Amen.
And I'm getting pushed back in a corner. And they begin to explain to me their experiences.
Amen.
Which I can't take that away from them.
Amen.
But when God created me, there is none like you. You have to make sure that the words you're taking in is God and not a different representation. I'm not saying that a sister and brother can't come and encourage you in the right direction. But know whether it's God and know whether it's somebody else being anointed. To make a long story short, I went on anyway. I evangelized maybe a whole year. Things got tight. I went and got another job. But before I started the job, I had a couple more meetings to do. So I told the boss, man, you know, I got some meetings to do, some youth service. Yeah. We did all that. I got down there, I was in like happy land. It was like people was anointed. Give the brother Diggs. Just stand up, people come up. Oh, brother Diggs, oh, brother Diggs, oh, brother Diggs, oh, brother Diggs. God was doing. God was using people. God was using the bride to encourage me in my position.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Some of us are so carnal.
Yes. Amen.
We can't give up $20.
Amen. Come on, preach it.
Let me drop this on you. I had one brother come up to me. He said, man, I sure appreciate that message. He said, I sold some hay today. And I'm going to give you some of it. Give me an envelope. And I said, praise God. Went back to the room. $100, $200, $300, $400, $500. You know what he did when he gave it to me? He sealed it with a kiss.
Wow.
Kiss me on my cheek. So man, stay out there. Keep on preaching.
Amen. Amen.
Who was that?
Thank you.
What representation was that? But what I'm saying is, either you're going to represent God or you're going to represent God.
Amen.
When I got back home, to go back on that job, I couldn't even stay Sunday. After I preached, I had to go. Phew. Brothers called me and said, hey, I want to take you out to break, take you out to lunch. I said, man, I'm on I-95 rolling. Got back to work. Gave my wife all the money I had. Brothers. Gave her all the money. Some of you brothers ain't got no faith. This is your faith. But what'll happen if you go to the store and somebody steal your faith? We supposed to be the bride. We got separate bank accounts, separate this, separate that. Don't you trust your wife? If he don't trust you, it might be because you might go shopping too much. But even in that, you got to build her respect. Because you might say, well, Sarah called Abraham Lord. You got to earn that. She didn't just automatically, oh, my Lord. No.
Amen.
She recognized him in his position. Amen. And if she don't, your wife don't recognize you as the head of the house, leading prayer, leading intercession,
Amen.
Doing all these things that a man is supposed to do, of course she ain't going to respect your position.
Amen. Amen. My Lord, speak my Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen anyhow. But you know what I do? I've been married 12 years this year. I treat my wife like a queen.
Amen. Amen.
So if she ever get a thought from the devil, I'ma leave. There'll be another thought come in and say, queen.
Amen.
Queen. 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 And then she can weigh what she got versus what she'll have. See, brothers, what you got to do, you got to put your wife in a position that if she leaves, she knows she going to mess up. Some of y'all tightening up on me. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. Know what to say about the wives. We ain't gonna even quote that one. You ought to go to your husband first. Don't compare your husband to another brother in the church. Because he broke the mold when he made your husband. God put Sapphira in Moses' life to humble him. Because Moses was the next man to be king on the throne.
Amen.
You mean to tell me he had no pride in him? Moses was a mighty, Brother Bram said he was a general. You know when they begin to beat up the Israelites, Moses went and grabbed that man and popped his neck. Moses ain't play. But he met his match. When he met Sapphira. Moses comes, I'm going to Egypt. He said, you're a bloody husband to me. God wants me to kill him. The circumcised the son into foreskin and threw it at him. You're a bloody husband. Better read your Bible. She was put in there to humble the prince of Egypt. But you know what? He gave up. Notice I said, I'm trying. I didn't say I'm closing. I'm trying. We up in the sky. We got a little bit more turbulence to go through. Just a little bit more turbulence. Right now we got the stewardess taking up the trash. But Moses gave up everything. What did God do? God allowed Moses' mother to give him up so he can be raised up, get the best clothes, the best food, the best training. He was the son of God. So God had to represent. God couldn't let his deliverer be raised up like that. God had to give him the best of the best to build character. Moses could sit down and be fed grapes. Moses had the best clothes money could buy. Moses was the king, the next one to be Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's own son was second to Moses. Look at the scene. God's very own children first are second to us. First love were the Jews. But then we were grafted in. And now they got to wait till God finished dealing with us. Hallelujah. God kicked everybody out while he dealt with his bride. Woo! Everybody else came second while he dealt with his bride.
My Lord.
Glory. But he gave it all up. He gave up being a king, a Pharaoh. For what? To become a God.
Hallelujah.
He gave up being Pharaoh. He gave up being king of Egypt to be God of Israel.
Amen. Speak, my Lord. That's the word.
So y'all, the old brother, and you didn't. Think about it. When God called Moses, God said, I've come down. I, first person, the I am, I've come down. And I've heard my people cry, and I've come to deliver them, and I'm sending you. So where was God? Where was his representation? It was in Moses. Before he could even get there, God had to let him know who he was. Moses said, I can't talk. I can't do this. He said, let Aaron be your prophet and you be God to the people. So he gave up Pharaoh to become God. Woo! Come on, somebody. We give up the world to become gods. He said, I'll give you a mystery that's been hidden from the beginning of the world, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we ain't just some people walking around on this earth. We are the representation of God. And I ain't just no church member. I ain't just in a message church. I am the anointing. I am supreme power in control. I am the Holy Ghost. You say, Brother Deeks, you blaspheming. No.
No, sir.
Because if Jesus is in me, where is the I am? Moses said, Lord, who am I going to tell? What is your name? He said, I am that I am. And if God is in you, that I am is in you. So you are I am. I am the bride. I am the Prince of Peace. I am everlasting joy. I am the Holy Ghost. I am the message of the hour. I am rapturing faith. Hallelujah. I am the third pull. I am perfect faith. I am perfect love. I am the revival. If you're looking for a revival, don't look no further. Here it is. The revival is in you. It's in you. The revival is in you. You are the Holy Ghost. You're not just a nurse. You're Jehovah Rapha. The revelation of healing is inside you. Hallelujah. What is the rapture? The rapture is a body of believers. We are the rapture. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise in this place. Let the musicians come. We are his representation. We are the spoken word authority. We are that pillar of fire that has become flesh. He said all that was in the Father, he poured into Jesus. All that was in Jesus, he poured where? Into who? Into who? In me. Let me hear somebody say, in me. In me. In me. I am Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Give God some praise.
Praise him, praise him, praise him. Praise him, praise him. Hallelujah, amen. Let's all lift our hands and talk to God right now for ourselves. Don't worry who is next to you. Oh, the Spirit of God is here. The anointing of the Holy Ghost is here. Father God in heaven, we thank you tonight for your word, Lord. We thank you for the representation by predestination. Lord God, Father, we fail you, but tonight, Lord, we're glad to know who we are tonight, Lord, that we are sons and daughters. We are the resurrection. We are the I am. We are that I, oh, hallelujah. Lord God, take away bitterness from our heart. Take away unforgiving spirit from our heart. Lord God Almighty, let love be placed there, Father. Lord God, help us, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, we praise you, we glorify you, we magnify you. We honor you, Lord. Everybody just worship God right now. He is here.